Father, we just come before you today with hearts willing to hear what it is you have to say, God. We know your word is truth, God. We know that every part that you have prepared for us today, God, is for our hearts to be radically transformed and changed more into the likeness of your Son, but more importantly, God, to just continue, God, to strengthen and grow us into the image of Jesus. So Lord, we lift this time up to you, God. We lift this message up to you today. Father, I pray that every word, God, would not return void, and that it would do and accomplish that what it is set out to do. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are going to be kind of just lingering here in this subject of honor. And I find it interesting because we don't think of honor the way God sees and thinks of honor. Okay? And that's okay to an extent because we are fallen creation. Okay? So we don't understand it necessarily as well or as good because God is perfect and awesome in every way. Amen? But to be very clear, God created us to bring him honor and glory. That is what he created you for. Okay? And as king, he is due that glory and that honor. Can we agree to that? Okay. But again, because we are fallen, and because of that fall that happened in the garden, we now do not have the immediate capacity or the immediate ability to just come in a way that is what we were intended to do. We need to be restored to that. Does that make sense? Okay. Which is what Jesus did. And I don't want to, I'm doing the fast track because there's more in here, but to get us to the basic concept of understanding that without Jesus, we cannot bring glory and honor to the King. Okay. But because of Christ, we now have the capacity to bring glory and honor to the King, but it's obedience that will bring us to that place. Amen. But if we in Jesus, and this is going to be the theme, come to Christ, we accept Jesus, we believe in what he is doing and changing in our lives, but we have this propensity to, I'm going to use the word carefully, show him honor and glory. How many people want to show God honor and glory? Show hands. Okay. That's good. But what we do or how we do it is really where this gets interesting. Because we'll try to show God honor and we'll try to show him glory by giving him our time and our attention, because we believe that God wants our time and our attention, right? And how much better can you honor somebody by giving them your undivided attention, right? Like, how do you honor the pastor? Give him your undivided attention, right? That shows him that you are indeed believing that what he is saying, God is provided and given, and that I honor him by not falling asleep during the message. But when you fall asleep during the message, is that showing honor? Okay? Shows you're sleepy. That's true. But what I'm seeing, or what God showed me, is that we do this in our very presentation of how we want to do things with the Lord. We believe that that is the response of how we show honor, but then when it comes to the fullness of being able to show that honor, we don't. We selfishly consume the time. And then when it's time to actually show the honor, guess what? We're depleted. We have nothing in the tank. We do this in our worship. We come here to worship him and show him honor. But we'll do the first half of the worship, But then the second half, which I already kind of expunged, is, well, the second half when pastor's doing all that gabbing and talking, I don't need to honor the Lord anymore. I honored him with my worship already. Do you not know that this is all part of the worship of the Lord? What God showed me is that we put a cap. I kind of use this as an illustration. You know, it's not full all the way. But we go, that's enough. And we leave room in the container. Do you know why we do this? Because we want to fill it with something else later. We have plans for what we want to put in this. And in that, we don't realize and this is a very interesting thing. When you, let's say this was all filled up to stuff that's going to glory and honor the Lord. And I put something else that's not this in there. What's going to happen? It is going to taint it. And now what happened to everything that's supposed to glory and honor the Lord? It's not going to glory and honor the Lord anymore. That's our issue. This is what God showed me. 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 through 21. We don't have a lot of scripture today, but believe me, you don't want more. Everybody there? With me? Okay. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. That's that tainting. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So let's use the illustration. We are water bottles. We are a container. Now, this water bottle has, what's it, pure life. Okay, whatever. I don't, it doesn't matter to me. It's water. What is the difference between this water and any other water on the planet? It's water. It's two hydrogen, one oxygen. That's it. It's very simple. All right. But here's what happens. We are a vessel. We were created to glory and honor God. And then what we do is we put this label on that vessel. And that label will say honor. Now, how many chefs are in the house? People who cook. Okay. All you chefs. All of your lovely spices. I want you to go home and take all the labels off. Is it oregano? Is it marjoram? Is it parsley? Who knows? Dinner's gonna be fun. Could you imagine? Especially if you have to smell all of it. Pepper's gonna suck. Anyway, we put the label on it. So we know what's in the container, right? So if we have a bottle or a vessel, and that label on that bottle says honor, we would be under the impression that now everything that is contained in that is what? Is honor. It is what will honor, or when you poured out will be honoring. Okay? So that's the basics of this entire message. What is in the container should be what is on the label. But I see something in Timothy that tells me some different things. And 2 points. And these are really interesting. The first point is that the container can contain other things. Where did you get that? Well, it talked about how you shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase the more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Cancer, not good. Cancer, bad. Cancer sucks. Is what is supposed to be honoring and well-pleasing to the Lord supposed to spread like cancer and be ungodly? No. So that would tell you that something can come into that vessel that can prove to be ungodly. Right? We also see that at the end where it talks about vessels that are in there that are for honor and for dishonor. Dishonor on you and your heifer. I have to. I can't not talk about honor and dishonor and not have that in there. All right. The second point that I find to be very interesting in this is that he mentions how these containers have different external appearances. Right? He says some are gold and silver, and some are of wood and clay. These 2 points are very interesting, because in the first point, we're dealing with the contents. We're dealing with what is contained in the vessel. In one vessel, we have contents that are untainted, uncorrupted, and pure. And in the other vessel, we have contents that have been tainted and corrupted, and now all that is contained will be dishonorable to the Lord. Then we have another example of these vessels that are being displayed that are made of clay and wood and that are made of gold and silver. You know what's really interesting about this entire passage? It does not at any point tell you which vessel contains what. But how many of you judge that the gold and silver are the ones for honor and the ones made of wood and clay are made for dishonor? Think about that. See, what I see is that we judge things by appearance first and content last. We take a look at the exterior and we determine what is the container supposed to have in it based on what the container looks like. And then we deem that what is inside that container is no good, because, well, the container doesn't look good. Think about it this way. How has the church elevated certain people of God to high places of honor only to be let down when the contents come out? I'll say it again. Look at how in the church people have elevated certain people of God to high places of honor only to be let down when the contents come out. Why does this actually happen? The reason it happens is because, as I stated in the beginning, we have a bad understanding of honor. We measure honor incorrectly. So, question. Based on what we have here, I'm going to take a little cough drop. Excuse me. How do we measure honor? Should we measure it by works? This is the problem. We have adapted this measurement of how we measure honor on this assembly line of the product or the quality of what's in the container, which comes out of the container. So therefore we go, well, that's the product, that's the works, the fruit, all that other stuff. That's how you measure character. Honor and character are not the same thing. And what I realize is that we don't have a good understanding of how we measure honor. And the reason we fold it in is because it's easier. We go, well, the character of this person is moral and just, so therefore the honor that comes from them must be also moral and just. Do you know that people of high moral character can be a vessel of dishonor? Look at what Timothy is saying. Think about that vessel of gold and silver. That would be a high moral character, right? But that vessel can contain junk. I'm only speaking of, in this, you can just see, look around, look at the other churches. I'm not picking on a specific church, but how many rumors and people, I don't want to say rumors, I don't want to talk about it in a gossip way, but how many things have you heard from the news and people who have told you about how this pastor was so good and doing all these great and wonderful things for God, and oh, what a mighty fall, and how he let down his entire flock, because did he put himself up on that high pedestal? Or did the people put him on that high pedestal? And that was the wrong form of honor. They weighed the wrong thing. They looked at the person. And they believed that this is the model. This is acceptable. What God showed me, and it's so important that we understand this, and I'm gonna point to it here. It talks about here where he says they have strayed concerning the truth, right? Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows who are his. This is important because what I'm pulling from and where I'm leading you to is the answer to this question. It's not of works. It's not talking about that. What is the distinguishing factor of how we're measuring honor? We measure honor, or we should measure honor, by the proximity we have to the King. What do I mean? God will only be close to those who show him the due honor and glory he is due. Those who show him dishonor aren't even allowed into his throne room. So how can I know that this person is showing honor, or the honor that they show is correct? It's based on how close they are to the King. So some questions. Do you actually allow the righteousness of God to move in you to reject other impurities that will taint the purity of what God wants to contain in you? Think about this. If you know that anything that comes inside to you to taint that which is supposed to come out of you that glories and honors God, that will then put you out of his throne room, you don't reject, you've ultimately put yourself out of the throne room immediately. You've removed yourself from that position and place. So how can you be a vessel of honor if you allow contaminants to come in? So, again, if you don't put a cap and wait for what you want to put in here later that you know darn well is going to contaminate that which God has already put in, guess what you allow? You allow this to be constantly filled with only that which will glory and honor to God. Brings glory and honor to God. And guess what? Oh, well, I messed up. I put some impurities in here. Does anybody know how to get dish soap out of a container? Huh? You fill it and you allow it to continually fill until it overflows, and you keep letting it overflow until all the soap comes out. That's how you get it out. Because if you dump it and you shake it up, you're just making more soap. You're spreading it out more. Just let it fill up and it'll pull all the soap out. So all that's left is just on soapy water. Do you know there's no limit to how much God will pour out into you so that you can glory and honor him? There's no limit. The only limiter is if you put the cap on it or not. You're the one who controls it, not him. So this led me down on the little trail of then, what is dishonor? And in Greek, this is atimia. And I'm not going to break it down for you here. Do your own research. Be a Berean, please. But this breaks down, if you break it down into root values, to mean of no value or of lesser value or worth. Basically, and for all our Bible study people, not precious. Not precious. Think about this. If you allow impurities to come in, you are reckoning that that which God has to give is of no value. All because you just want to have something else in there instead. And this is not presentational. How much you value God and Christ in your life cannot be measured just by works or your outward appearance. Because how many people can put on a good show? People could do it their entire lives. This is only measured in how you live the life that you were given. It's measured by your proximity to God Almighty. And now, here's the catch. Because the closer you are to him, what has to happen? You have to change. You cannot remain the same and be in the presence of God Almighty. You cannot. So this is why proximity outweighs everything else. You have to draw near to him. He will draw near to you and you will be changed into his image. It is the only way it happens. But if you do not draw near to him, it's usually because you're ashamed of what's inside. Or you're waiting. And this is what God really showed me. Not in the scripture line, but go with me. Jesus goes to the well and he asks the Samaritan woman to draw from this well, right? For him. And he explicitly talks to her about a specific type of water. Do you remember what that water was? Living water that you will never thirst again. What does that sound like? It sounds like a cup that will never run dry, that will never be empty, that is always full, right? Now, keep this in perspective. If you have that call and that offering to you, and you go, nah, I'm good, I got this over here instead. I have this other beverage. I have this other drink. Or, don't fill it all the way, Lord. I want to add something to it later. What are you saying about that water? It's not good enough. You're literally saying that the water that is to give you everlasting life, that will never run dry, that will always keep you satisfied and healthy and all things, is not good enough as it is. That you want something more. Now, go back to what I said previously. If you were the one giving that away and you knew the value that was in it and somebody said, no, that's not good enough, what did they deem that what you had to give was? It wasn't worth anything. More importantly, not only was it worth anything or not worth enough, but this other thing was worth more. Let me be clear. Honor to the king cannot be honor that is evenly dispersed to whatever other things you want. Honor to the king can only go to the king. You cannot shed the honor that he has given to us, which I'll get to anything else. It isn't due to them. It is only due to the king. He has given it to you to give back to him. Wait a minute, what? Yes, he has given you, he is the one who has supplied it to you, and he's asking you to only give that back to him what he has given to you already. That's how you honor him. Think about it. What's your tithe? You're literally giving back to him a tenth of what he's already given you already. He's given you it. So, in theory, you validate, you can see what I'm saying is true. Everything God gives to us, he only asks for us to give it back to him to show him honor. That's how we show him that we are grateful and we are thankful and we are appreciative for everything he has given to us in our lives. That's what he created us for. He created us to care for us, and in his care for us, we would honor him by thanking him and showing our gratitude to him by giving back that which he has given to us. I'm going to pick up where I left off. And this is logical too. Think of it from a logical sense. The closer we are to the source of honor, the less chance of something that has impurities can come and put in that impurity into what you have. Just in the distance it travels along. There's more opportunity if you're further from God for more things to come in and intercede in between, right? But if you're right up against the Father and the only thing coming out of his hand is a jug of water into your vessel, guess what? There's no chance for even dust particles to get inside there. Amen? But if we create distance between us and the Father, we give more room for the intruders to come and contaminate us as vessels. This is how we end up being hypocritical as believers, but even more problematic is that we are effectively sabotaging the ability of others to show honor to God. Oh, wait a minute. What? I thought that only affected me. See, that's the mistake. You thought that, but that's not true. What does Scripture say? John 5. Verses 36 through 47. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given to me, Jesus speaking, to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him, you do not believe. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you. Did I go too far? Nope. Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? This is Jesus speaking. And talking about John the Baptist. And he is calling them out for how they are not able to effectuate the honor that is due to the king because they are busy honoring each other. And they are misleading those who are following them into false honor to something that is not due that honor that God is due already. Now, Jesus separates himself from John the Baptist here. Okay? Clearly, that's what he's doing. All right? But here's the thing that I thought was interesting. He highlights that the major difference between himself and John is that he was rejected, but John's message was received. Think about this. If you're Jesus and you came here knowing who you are in the fullness, the Son of God, God in the flesh, among your people, and a man who heard the voice of the Lord, responded to the voice of the Lord, obeyed, and preached that gospel that talked about the guy who is here now got more honor than the guy who deserved it. That he talked about what's coming that they needed to honor. You think that's ironic? That is the definition of irony right there. That is insanity. And Jesus is calling him out. Now, he has the right to call him out because he's the one due the honor. Amen? But why are they okay? And this is where I had to spend some time really just sitting before the Lord. Because there's a big picture here. And I'm not going to be able to go over it all. But I really want to encourage you to just spend some time here in this specific passage. Because there's so much things that God can just reveal to you here. About even just you personally and where you are. When John spoke of Jesus, why were they so willing to receive the message of that which was to come, but not that which was here? You're close. Maybe, might be a control issue. But what God showed me, in line with what everything is here, is that when he shows up and Jesus comes, they knew at this moment, all the games had to stop. I cannot continue doing things as I had done before. I can no longer be a fence sitter. I can no longer speak this way and go into the synagogue and preach this way. I can no longer live my life Monday through Friday this way and Saturday, Sunday, I'm a worshiper for Jesus. Jesus coming meant, oh, I need to get my life in order now because he is here, and the only way I'm going to be able to be in the presence of God Almighty is if I receive him who was there before me. And if that is who he says he is, I'm not worthy to even be in his presence in my current state, which means I have to radically transform and change who I am. Guess what they didn't want to do? The reality is because they wanted to have room for more impurities to still remain in that vessel. And Jesus was putting a standard out that stated that no impurities could be in his presence. He set the standard that righteousness is the only thing that we can have. That's it. So then this begged the question, was John tolerant? Was John tolerant? No. John wasn't tolerant, right? Because Christ hasn't come yet. Everything John had done up until that time was absolutely the best that could be done up until the point of Christ's return. Okay? Which is where we are now. So what this showed me is this all boils down to a choice. That same choice that Jesus was confronting the individuals he was speaking to in this moment is the same choice we have right here now. And I find it ironic and amazing that after all of these years, we still fumble in this choice. How many generations have gone through believers, not believers, converts, non-converts, coming to this choice and choosing right or wrong in either side? Will you continue or excuse me, will you choose to be a vessel of honor by receiving the honor that he gives us that comes through the Son and putting ourselves close to him in order to receive it to its fullness? Because I will tell you, here's what I see a lot of in the church. More Jesus, more, more, more. Okay, cool. I'm good now. I'm not going to do this, but then 3 weeks later, this thing is as empty and dry as you could possibly imagine. And they're wondering why things aren't going right and why things are hard and why everything is difficult and why this and why that and why this. Well, the reason is because, yeah, you were filled up. But after that first day, you literally got filled up. You glorified and honored God. And then for the next 2 weeks and 6 days, not only did you not honor God, but you were starving. Because you were busy feeding off of all kinds of other stuff. And when this is just something God showed me right now. Why do we do that? No. We do it because we honestly believe that the honor that we gave God was enough, and now we can go and do whatever we want. And we actually think that we don't have to continuously do this. I go back to the well. The water is never going to run out. So will the honor ever stop? No. So should our vessel ever be empty? No. The only reason it gets empty is because you drifted away from him. You weren't near the lever. You were too far. And so when he's pouring out, and he's always pouring out, church, for you to receive so that you can constantly glorify and honor him, he's not stopping. But if you're not there, you're not getting filled. It's that simple. So do you choose that, or do you choose this? Will you continue to try and produce honor by drawing from a supply of impurities that you constantly fill yourself with? I can't tell you how many times people come to me with issues and things that are going on in their life. Now, mind you, prayerfully, I pray, and prayerfully, I listen and obey what the Lord's saying to give to you guys. But when you look at the situation with just spiritual eyes, it's point blank always going to be you are choosing something else instead of choosing to be close to him. And I'm not saying that this is a problem of your lifestyle and like you need to be like a monk hidden up in a cave and cut off from all existence in life. Well, no, you're not going to be very effective for the kingdom of God in that way. No. But proximity to God does not mean make yourself into a hermit. Proximity to God means you are always, always in a place where he is welcome, he is here, he is present, and he is on your mind at all times. He is the most important figure in your life. And he gets your attention. He gets your thoughts. He gets your voice. He gets your wallet. He gets your life. He gets your house. He gets your kids. He gets your spouse. He gets everything. That's it. And when you give him everything, guess what? Just like the tithe, he'll give you 90% back. You still get to enjoy all the stuff he's given you, but you have to release it to him. If you're holding on to it at all times, You're not honoring him. The choice is not in the consumption. This is so important, church. Please hear me. It's not in the consumption. So many people are going to leave here and tell me, Pastor told me, I need to stop doing this and I need to stop doing that and I need to give up this and I need to give up that. I'm burning my house down tonight because I can't have anything good. I'm going to go live in a cave. Jonathan, I'm talking to you. So when you get that, please hear. That's not what God is saying in this message. It has zero to do with consumption. It has nothing to do with what you consume. It has to do with your proximity to Him. You can still consume all things that are good and holy and wholesome and honoring to the King as long as you are near Him. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be with you. He wants to be by your side. He wants to be invited into your home. He wants to be invited at your dinner table. I love it. You say, you are not a guest in this house. He is not a guest. It is His house. Amen? The real question is who do you choose to be closer to? Do you choose to be closer to Him? Or do you be choosing to be closer to yourself? That's your choice today. As an honor, a vessel of honor, excuse me, which you were designed to be, which you were created and labeled to be, that you should only contain, because that's all He's giving you to do, is to honor Him with it, then I challenge you, church, choose to honor Him by putting yourself right next to Him and going, I'm going to honor you with this today. I'm going to honor you in this today. But like, well, I was planning on sitting on my couch and playing video games today. Good. Honor the King in what you do. Honor Him. You want to sit and just watch the game? Honor Him. How do you do that? Behave in a manner that is worthy to the Lord. Thank Him. Let His praises be on your lips. Excuse me. You can do that and do this at the same time. The problem is we think we can't. We think that that's insanity. It's not insanity. When you are a rejuvenated creation that has been built to honor the King, everything you do should glory and honor the Lord. Amen? He's not telling you to stop doing stuff. You need to go to work. You need to go and do your grocery shopping. You all are going to be sitting there cooking in 2 days. Guess what? Stop swearing at the bird and start praising. Amen? That's what I'm saying. It's that simple.